I'd like to read a very well-known passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And salvation is in none other, for neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. I really haven't had much time to consider the Scriptures. Not as much time as I would have liked to have done. So my desire this evening isn't to speak a long word, certainly not to try and give carefully thought out words to you this evening, but speak a simple message. A simple message that means something to me about the Saviour. I'm thankful that it is a simple message, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be standing up behind this desk if it was a complicated message. I want to speak about one whom I know, one whom I've experienced the blessing from. It's a wonderful thing to hear somebody who can speak having experienced the blessing. And I'm really very thankful, you know. I never deserved God's mercy and grace towards me. None of us have. None of us in this room tonight have deserved any blessing from God. It's a wonderful thing if we have, and we know it to be true, because the Holy Spirit has put that witness in our hearts, that the things concerning our Lord Jesus Christ and his love is true and it's real. And I think this is a wonderful verse to refer to, one of those very early preachings in those early days when the church was established, and Peter can stand up with power and conviction. And he speaks very simply. He speaks about what he knows to be true. He speaks with conviction and power and clarity. How much need there is in the world today for clarity. Clarity of message for salvation. Two things are emphasised in this verse here. Salvation is in none other. It's only in one person. And the other thing that's made very clear is that we must be saved. Two things that are very clear in this verse. Salvation is in none other. Well, maybe I should refer to what's at the end of this verse. It says, we must be saved. And I just wonder, when you look around, there doesn't seem much urgency. In this country, we live in a pretty safe environment, naturally. And there doesn't seem much urgency. And I guess men don't know what they should be saved from. And yet there is a pressing urgency. For those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is urgency. Because they need to be saved from their sins before a holy and a righteous God. I don't think there's much understanding of that in this world, this evening. You think out there in London, is there much understanding of that? Righteousness and the holiness of God? Is there much awareness of the sins that we've committed? How offensive they are to a righteous and a holy God, that he cannot look upon them because he's righteous and he's holy. And that means, for men, that when they pass from this scene into the next scene, that those sins, they matter. If there are persons who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they carry those sins with them. And that should be a matter of great concern, because God is a holy and a righteous God, and he cannot look upon sin. And therefore, men will have to be banished from his presence to another place that is not heaven, and is not a place of light and love, and is not a place of joy and peace, but it is a place of suffering and punishment for sin, punishment for sins that have been committed. That's why we must be saved. That's why he ends with this verse. We must be saved, because it is not God's desire that men should end up in that place. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's his desire, that's his command, because God is a God of love. He can do nothing else but to command men to repentance. that every single one might come to know the man whom he has sent, that they might be saved, each and every one, from their sin, and have a hope for the future, that they will pass from this sin into an eternal sin and see the Saviour face to face. But then when you come on to the earlier part of it, there is only one way. Salvation is in none other, and neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. Not another name. The only name is the name of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with men. And that is the man whom God has appointed, who was born, who walked here amongst men, and was crucified and slain, that we might go free. And there's no other man, no other man who could make an acceptable sacrifice for our sins and our offences. There is only one man in the history of the world who was born, who would be an acceptable sacrifice. And it had to be a lamb without blemish, as it speaks of in the Old Testament scriptures. That is, a man who lived righteously before his God and Father, who had a will of his own, and yet always was subject to the will of his God and Father. And that's the man who went that way to Calvary's cross, that we might be blessed. Think of that. Down stooping path of the Lord Jesus Christ came from the highest heights of glory, from a past eternity, was even born into this scene, as we read this afternoon, as a humble, harmless baby in such a lowly place. As Derek reminded us of, wasn't born in a palace like the Jews at the time may have expected, although the prophecy was there, but he was born in the most humble place, and he wasn't regarded very well. Is this the son of a carpenter? Think of the humility of Jesus. So why? Why did he come that way? Why did he not come in such glorious circumstances? Why did he not come into an affluent family? It was because he might reach out to you and me, that he might reach out to all, the rich and the poor. None were to be at a disadvantage. And we can be thankful that that is God's approach to us tonight, is that he's reaching out to men, women and children of every strata of society, from the highest to the lowest. He's come, the Lord Jesus Christ has come, that we might be saved. And you just think of the way that he went. You know, you look around today, you know, you look around at the scene of politics in this world. Don't want to spend much time referring to that, but men are fighting for prominence, fighting for the best deal, fighting for themselves. The Lord Jesus Christ, it was a pathway of sacrifice, of going down, washing the disciples' feet. Yes, he did that. And ultimately, you look to the cross, don't you? You look to that. And he made that sacrifice, not exactly for himself, although he does say, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. But he did it for you and me. And it staggers me, you know, such a different way to the way that we think. We like to get on in life. We like to make something of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he led a down-stooping pathway. And it led to the cross, where his face was set as a flint to go that way, that we might be ransomed, that we might be redeemed. Such was his love. Such was his love that reached out towards us while we were far from him, that we might be blessed. Nails hammered through his hands and his feet, raised up on a cross, suffered even the just and holy and righteous judgment of God, that really should never have fell on Jesus' head, but it was God's only way that we could be justified, that we could be cleared from our sin. And so he did. So he went that way, and he did suffer, and he did bear the just judgment of God in 3 hours of darkness on Calvary's tree. We've heard that story also often, haven't we? Does it touch our hearts? I think it's the Spirit's desire in this gospel preaching to touch all of our hearts, the preacher himself included, before anybody else, about the amazing love of God and the extent to which it has gone to. That often touches me. You know, often in the morning meeting, I just think about the extent to which God has gone to secure us for his pleasure, that we might be ransomed, that we might be redeemed, that it's good to think and pause and reflect, not only what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ, but what it cost God, the sacrifice of his only Son. We can't say much about it, but we can ponder and reflect upon that and the agony that that caused him to go that way, to pour upon him his judgment for sin, that we might go free. And because he suffered that judgment in its entirety, we know this, because he said, "It is finished." Those are the words that came out of his mouth. "It is finished." So we know that that work is complete. Not like the work that I do. I find it very difficult to finish things. If I do finish something, then it's not perfect. I think everybody would find the same. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when it came to the matter of sin, everything was cleared before a righteous and a holy God. We often think about the very obvious sins in our lives. We might think about those more prominent ones, which perhaps we can't forget. But then there are things that we do inadvertently, things that catch us out, you know, even as Christians. I experienced that this week, you know. Things catch us out, and we find the flesh rising up in us. And before we know where we are, we think, "Yes, I've sinned." But thank God that that sacrifice has been made, and my sins, and those sins, are covered because of what Christ has done. How wonderful that is. So we can have security, and we can have peace as Christians. If we find ourselves trapped in sins, it might be habitual sins, it might be sins that just catch us out, we're caught off guard, and all of a sudden we come out with a word that is not right. Well, it could be anything. Well, they're all cleared. They're all cleared, they're gone before the sight of a righteous and a holy God because of what Christ has done, because he has led us to repentance. That's important in the gospel, to emphasise repentance, that we need to bow before him, the holy and righteous God, and say we're wrong. We've done what's wrong. We are sinful. And that we need to be saved from our sins, turn from them. Very important. And then we need to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that the work that he has done is sufficient before a righteous and a holy God to cleanse us from each and every sin, so that we can have peace and assurance. That's very important for the Christian. Important in this world. Important in the world which is full of turmoil and change. Fears might be upon the hearts of many. It's important to have that peace and assurance of knowing that God is in control. Think of that. Isaiah 33, verse 6. I was just thinking about that earlier on today. "He shall be the stability of thy times, the riches of salvation, wisdom and knowledge, fear of Jehovah shall be your treasure." Something I'd like to leave you with tonight, in this changing world, in this evil world, that is going on to judgment, because it's a world that has cast out the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no hope for the government of this world. Our hope lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will have his own government at a future time. But meanwhile, as those who trust in Christ, we can have stability in our times. "He shall be the stability of thy times." Riches of salvation. Interesting that it says riches of salvation. Not just salvation, but the riches of it. What would that be? What springs into your mind and your heart? You think about the riches of salvation. A few words spring into my mind. Peace. Peace with God. Assurance. Assurance of God's salvation. Assurance of clearance from sin altogether. Wisdom and knowledge. Well, there's only one way that we can gain that, and that is by spending time pondering the scriptures with the Spirit's help, and we would gain wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge from the scriptures and what they teach us and what has been written by holy men of God. And wisdom as applied to our lives, those things where we need guidance on by the Holy Spirit. He is all sufficient. Think of what has been given. The scriptures have been given to us. What's included in the canon of scripture is sufficient for each and every aspect and area of our lives and every circumstance. There is nothing left out. And yet we do need guidance. We need wisdom from day to day. And the Holy Spirit has been given that he might be a guide. It's been said before that conscience is a guard. And that's a good thing. That God has given men a conscience. But it's better to have a guide. And that guide has been given. It is the blessed Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who is able to guide us when we do not have the complete knowledge of the scripture. We have the unction from the Holy One, who is able to guide us in each and every circumstance if we depend on him. And it says, the fear of Jehovah shall be your treasure. I don't believe that this is a fear necessarily as the world regards it, as a trembling fear, but I believe it's a reverence, dependence on Jehovah at all times, in these turbulent times. We have reverence and regard for Jehovah and his ways, knowing that his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts. Well, may these words be a blessing to each and every one of us, preacher himself included, needs the word. I expect preachers have experienced this as they stood up behind a desk, and you need the gospel as much as others do as well, and the blessings of it, the blessings of salvation and the riches of salvation. Well, may these things encourage our hearts to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit in each and every aspect of our lives, that we might have that wisdom from above and peace and assurance in a changing world, for his name's sake.